Some days are terrible, you wish that you were dead, and some days are magical, like great banana bread. Someday we'll be friends with the voices in our heads. The voices in our heads.
Greetings, humans of planet Earth. Sorry we're all here. Woo! Congrats on not taking your own life, because it's tough in these streets and inside. Really, it's tough everywhere. I got my precious stones. I got my fucking precious ass stones here to please God, to please. I made up a song and it goes, oh, precious stones, please help me feel like not a piece of shit. It doesn't, it's not working yet, but if it does, I'll let you know. Kamala, really excited. I really want her to be the president. Although that I was talking last week about this woman, Ann Tucker, who on YouTube, she had a near-death experience and then had the ability to channel angels and made all these predictions about how the person who wins the presidential election is going to pass away. And initially I was like, well, if Biden wins, he's old as hell. So maybe that's it. Hopefully it's not an assassination. But then when they announced Kamala, I was like, please, not her, not anybody, really. I don't want people to die, but it's normal if you do. It's okay. Oh, my buttons. Please give me my buttons, Michael. You got to come a little bit closer. Okay. What would I do without my buttons? Yeah. I want her to win so bad. Dude, a woman and then a woman of color in the fucking White House in charge? It's not what our country deserves, but boy, it would help. It would really help. And there was rumors going around the Instagram about how there's going to be a benefit concert with Beyonce and Taylor Swift. And I'm like, if that happens, every woman's going to explode. And then we won't be able to vote. No, we will be able to vote. But don't worry, we'll have our precious stones with us so that we don't explode from the excitement. I talked about this on Guys Who Fuck, but boy, you know, if you've been listening to the show for 2 seconds, you know, your girl needs help, okay? But your girl trying to help herself by reading books and shit, you know, because I've had a rough go in the early years. And then you didn't realize it was a rough go until you're in your late 20s. And then you're like, oh shit, everything was a lie and I'm living for other people, not myself. Well, goddamn, that's not good. That's not fun. But this book called Mother Hunger. Oh, I'm so hungry for mother. It's fucking me up. Sign up for my Patreon, patreon.com/Christina Hutchinson, where every week I'll do group Zoom therapy. It's like group therapy, but am I a licensed therapist?
No,
I'm not. So it's group therapy, okay? Because I don't want anybody to sue me, because do I have money?
No,
don't. But I will soon, because I'm going to move in with the boo, and I'm going to save money. Because my building, after writing them a very strict and stern email, I was like, hey, mister, you're not providing a safe environment. I want to get out of my lease, you fucks, because all these motherfuckers get stuck in the elevator. And my building was like, well, technically, you would owe us $16,000 to get out of your lease, but we're going to waive that fee. And I was like, oh my God, thanks. Wouldn't have paid it anyway. But this book that somebody in my Patreon recommended to me, Mother Hunger, and I downloaded it right away, and then I listened to it, and I was like, oh, fuck off. You ever have these things that you do, some like these tendencies you've had since you were a kid or that you develop later on in life, and you're like, I don't know what the fuck this is about, but I'm going to make fun of it on Instagram because I'm a comedian. One of them being eating in the middle of the night. And then the other thing I used to think was such a hoot was I was just a humper as a kid, just humping everything. And this fucking book just calls me out. And they were like, you know why you humped everything? Mother hunger. It was mother hunger. I'm like, fuck, dude. Can you just, like, sometimes ignorance is bliss, you know? Sometimes it's bliss. But yeah, that's, if you got mom issues, and a lot of people on my Patreon do, and I love that. Come to me with your mother issues. One thing that I love about the Patreon is some of y'all's parents behaved exactly like my parents. And it's so helpful for me because I'm like, yo, that shit ain't personal. When your parent is a meanie, it feels so personal because it's your parent. You need them to, like, teach you things. Teach me how to brush my hair. I went to school with mats in my hair, like matted hair, because I didn't know how to brush it. Because look at this shit. And then I was embarrassed that I didn't know how to brush my own hair. So I just put it up in a clip. And then eventually I had to cut my own hair. That was fun. Mother hunger. Oh, so starving. That's what I'm thirsty for, really. And ghosts and aliens and psychedelic drugs and psychic powers. But we'll get to that later. There is a specific social interaction that I love that I've experienced a couple times this past week. It's so specific, but it's so nice. When a mom or a dad, but it's usually a mom, is walking down the sidewalk towards me and they have their baby either in a stroller or in one of those little like baby things and they're just kind of floating in the wind, bouncing. And I look at the baby and I take in the baby and I'm like, that is so, you precious little angel. And then the mom looks at me looking at her baby and she's like, goddamn right, bitch, that's my baby. And I just love that. I love that moment. I love a mother taking pleasure and satisfaction in me in awe of her baby. It's just so sweet, you know? Here's one interaction that happened in my neighborhood that wasn't sweet, but it was hilarious. There's this guy in my neighborhood who has an electric wheelchair, and one of his legs is cut off at the knee. Older guy, drunk guy. He always has liquor on him. And like, I love that. Like, good for you, boo. Live your life. You know what I mean? You probably got mother hunger, I would guess, or father hunger, but that's okay. We all do it in some way. But he just rolls around the neighborhood. And anytime I see, like, there's certain instances in life where I'll see something specific and a very specific song will play in my head. And whenever I see somebody in an electric wheelchair, immediately I go, they see me rolling, they hating, patrolling, they try to catch me riding dirty, try to catch me riding dirty. And it just plays in my head and I laugh and it's great. It's fucking great. I feel it because I feel like whoever's in that wheelchair, that motorized wheelchair, is on their way to commit a heist in my head. And in the movie in my head, they're rolling and I'm hating. I'm not hating. But anyway, this guy in my neighborhood who has a motorized wheelchair, he was in the middle of the street at a crosswalk, at a stop sign. And he was blocking the road partially. And he was just talking to his friend, just drinking liquor, talking to his friend. And then a car pulls up behind him. And you could tell they're like, can you move? And finally the car honked because I guess he didn't see them or he chose not to. I'm going to say it's the latter. And then he goes, hey, I'm walking over here. And I was like, dude, I want to know you. I want to know you, you knight, you sir. I love him. It's great. I'm walking over here. Hilarious. Hilarious. Cheers to you. This piece of news is for anybody who's been tricked into buying luxury fashion. I've been tricked into buying it twice. Okay. I have a pair of Gucci shoes that Laura Lynn Jackson also has. And I saw her wear them at a workshop once. And I was like, twins, I'm going to be a psychic medium too. That means. And then I have a pair of boots that I bought, that I thought I walked into Gucci, but it was Louis Vuitton. And I got home and I was like, oh fuck. And it's just this shit. First of all, I have no business buying that. Second of all, it's a trick. We got tricked. Okay. I feel like we already all know this, but let me really rub it in. An investigation by the government of Italy found that a $2,800 Dior bag cost the company $57 to make. Oh, we got tricked, kids. Dior's handbags are the stuff of dreams, the epitome of fine craftsmanship and luxury. Owning one can be a source of fulfillment and self-esteem. Not a good one. Not a reliable one. If you're getting your self-esteem from your Dior bag, oh, I feel bad for you. But a lot of people are like that. So you got tricked. It's not your fault. It is a little. Owning one can be a source of fulfillment and self-esteem, but not to burst your bubble as the dreamy Dior turns dire with the unsettling truths. An Italian investigation revealed a raid by Italian police. What a great raid. They're probably just stealing all the purses. On Dior's production units uncovered the dark side of luxury brands. Luxury fashion brand Dior, owned by LVMH, produced their handbags for $57 and retailed them for, I guess it's a little less, $2,780. If you're buying a purse for $2,780, you best be given Operation Smile or St. Jude's. You piece of shit. Okay? Eat the rich. Don't eat them. But I feel like there's better things to spend your money on. Am I one to talk?
No.
Did I spend too much money on a birthday party 2 years in a row to have it in a fancy hotel room? Yes, I did. Should I have done that?
No.
How much have you also spent on ghost hunting?
Oh, not that much. The gear on ghost hunting it's like $30 a thing. Right. I do have three devices in my home that are each a different way to detect ghosts. And then when they go off, I'm like, okay, what do I do? Like, right. Hi, ghost. And then I'm like, I turn them all off because I want to go to bed. I'm like, that was not a smart purchase, Christina. I didn't think ahead. You got to think ahead. It's tough to think ahead sometimes. Mother hunger. Ooh, I'm so starving. The Italian investigation of Dior's third-party suppliers disclosed the workers' inhumane working conditions. Similarly, another luxury brand, Armani, ugh, I do love that cologne though, engaged in similar malpractice, paying $99 per bag to the contractors, which they retailed for more than $1,900 in their stores. Y'all, we're getting tricked, okay? We got tricked. It's okay. I get tricked every day. I trick myself. It's sad. It's sad. That's why I say congrats on not killing yourself. Investigation uncovered shocking working conditions where workers slept in sleeping bags and labored without any breaks. A Reuters report revealed the draconian tracking of electricity consumption data meticulously to ensure the workers were churning out bags like machines day and night. Most of the workers were Chinese illegal immigrants living in the country without proper documentation. To speed up the production process, safety devices on gluing and brushing machines were eliminated. Cute. The severe cost cutting in production allowed Dior to sell bags with gilded price tags of over $1,000 and maintain a high profit margin. The Milan judiciary issued orders to place both the production units of Dior and Armani under judicial administration for 1 year. Yeah, but guys, those luxury bags, just get a fucking fake one from the guys on the Lower East Side that have the picnic blankets, okay? Just that they're cheaper. They're knockoffs, but who cares?
Well, hold on. Who made the knockoffs?
Some bitch.
Are you aware of how bad the sweatshop situation is for knockoff items?
No.
Quite bad.
Are you serious?
Yeah, and if you want to do a deep dive on where some of that money for knockoffs goes,
oh, no,
it's like
a blood diamond.
Yeah, kind of. We did an episode when I was working on Money Rehab, where
I need that.
Yeah, they were talking about this is Nicole Lappin.
Yeah, she's great. Yeah. So hot. Doesn't matter, but goddamn, that woman's hot. It was distracting talking to her. Anyway.
We had somebody on who was like an expert on the knockoff market, I guess.
Oh.
And if I remember right, I remember her talking about how it's like sweatshop labor, and then some of that money that gets kicked to them funds like terrorist groups and stuff.
No.
Guys,
don't get knockoffs either.
It's just tough. These are no win situations. That's why this is also hard.
That is life on this planet.
Yeah. I'd have to do some research to double check what I just said, but
well,
I'm pretty sure. I mean, I know sweatshop labor is really bad with the knockoff stuff.
Wow.
That's why you can get them for, you know, $6.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. 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 Well, okay. Okay, guys, don't do the knockoffs either. Just go to a thrift store. It's so fun to find
That's a cool thrift store.
You know what I mean? And I'm sure maybe the originator production of the bag in the thrift store. Yeah, kids might have been involved. But you know what? Get it from a thrift store. thank you. Just cough right into the mic, Christina. It's not like the audio is the only important thing here. And then I found this with the Olympic Games happening. Dude, there's a fucking refugee Olympic team. What? They're going to win everything. Are you fucking kidding me? A refugee Olympic team? That's like almost unfair. It is fair because they've been through a lot. But there's this Washington Post article. After fleeing the Taliban, she'll break dance on the refugee team in Paris. Yo, this bitch better win. When Maniza Talash, I am butchering that, my apologies, finds the beat, something grabs hold of her. Her arms sway and her legs start to bounce. The ensuing flurry of footwork and acrobatic whirling driven by the music transports Talash somewhere distant. And I read this whole article and I'm like, and I'm still sad because my mommy was mean to me. Get over it, Christina. Look at her. She's breakdancing at the Olympics. Okay. Some of us are just born real sensitive. And those aren't the people that should get mean parents. I will say, I know every generation historically has a lot of misunderstandings. Like the parent generation never understands the generation of their own children and vice versa. But I feel like millennial children with baby boomer parents, their gap feels extra. Okay. Our gap feels bad. I think we need government assistance to get along because, like I said earlier, the conversations I'm having on my Patreon and then also just with friends in my life who are millennials with parents, some of the shit that these parents pull, I'm like, why do you hate your kid? Like, what is happening? Did you eat lead cereal for Brad? Like, what is up with this baby boomer? Like, not all baby boomer parents, thank God. Some of y'all millennials had lovely parents who nurtured you. Mikey had great parents. Tim, did you have good parents?
Yeah, pretty good parents. Yeah, great parents. Yeah. I shouldn't say pretty good.
Pretty good. Great parents. That's great. And look, such well-rounded young men. Great smiles. Oh, good thanks. Attitude. You know, when life throws you stuff, you handle it. You know, when life throws me stuff, I go, I just want to die. Literally, that's what I'll say. Oh, I'm so dramatic.
But I get jealous of the work that you had to put into yourself into becoming like an interesting person. People with great parents, it's hard to become interesting.
Yeah, but you handle things well. Like that, you don't know how
well,
bad
yeah, that's
it is.
The thing. Being interesting is it really hurts. Cool from like 20 to 30. And then from 30 on, you're kind of like,
we're all over it.
Boy, this person can't do it. They can't get anything together. And I'm not saying that about you,
no,
Christina.
You would be correct if you were saying that.
It's
no.
just, but you even see that with people like of all the other generations, like the real interesting people, as they start to get older, you like them less and less as like somebody to look up to. You're kind of like, oh God, that's what 50 as somebody who was never able to get their life together looks like. Not good.
Oh God, that's terrible.
But they're really interesting.
Oh. You know? Well, that's why I'm saving mediumship for like my 50s, 60s, and 70s. Cause I'm like, let's just learn to do that later in life. Because this wasn't one of the reasons, but now it is. I'm going to be kooky as hell. Okay. I'm going to be kooky. I take shit personally that I shouldn't take personally. And this Mother Hunger book, I'm so sick of talking about mom issues. I'm so sick of it. Yeah. I don't get sick of it talking about it in the Patreon because it's a bunch of people whose moms were cruel, cruel. Okay. And let me tell you something. What that does to your self-esteem, it murders it. It murders it. It takes a little beautiful butterfly and stabs it with a knife. Okay. Now, not to say you can't get that back, but fighting, I do agree, Tim, in that it does feel rewarding to fight tooth and nail for your own mental sanity. But boy, if you could just be born with mental sanity and maintain that, that sounds way better.
Yep.
Because I would still be interesting. I'd still be weird. But now then you could throw me a curveball in life and I'll go, all right, how are we going to handle this? I couldn't even imagine.
It's a catch 22, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is. Ugh. And there's all these articles on Instagram that are like, here's how to live to be 99. I'm like, nah, I'm good. 99. Yeah. 75. That's good. That's a good run, you know? Because now that I'm not afraid of death, I mean, I'm not going to kill myself because I know that that's like spiritually not good.
Yeah, please don't.
No, I'm not going to. Because I don't want to have to repeat this whole bullshit again. I already did it, you know? I earned that. I fucking earned that. I never will. And also, I'm too much of a pussy. Not to say somebody who kills themselves is brave because I don't believe that. But I'm not going to. The jury is in. She's not going to. Which is great, but then I have to like live, you know? And so, oof, that's hard. That's hard. That's hard. Tricky. Cause one day, I don't know. I mean, you guys probably don't experience this. One day I'm blissfully happy and I'm like, wow, this is great. I'm doing all the things. And then the next day I'm like, what's the point? It's so exhausting.
I mean, I can't speak for Tim. I definitely experienced that.
Really?
100%. I mean, you're
still
a human being.
You handle it well because I wouldn't guess that.
That's the thing. I think it is just about kind of like handling it. But there are definitely days. I mean, I think everybody feels that way.
Yeah.
You know, there's got to be some people obviously handle it in more extreme ways. And obviously, it's the reason that I'm on antidepressants and stuff. But
I absolutely
have days where I'm just like, fuck this. I want to just stay in bed and like whatever. But, you know, that's the thing. The higher the stakes get in life, the more you have to just be like, all right, let me worry about this at a time where there's, you know, less at stake for the moment.
Totally.
Like I have things I have to do today, you know.
I'm so jealous of children because they don't have bills to pay. Like, older you get, you get more knowledge and then you're like, oh, this is a lot of knowledge, man. I don't know. Like sometimes ignorance is, I know it's not bliss, but more some of the stuff I wish I didn't know. You know, I wish I could unknow. But then you have more responsibility. As you get older, the responsibilities don't go away. And I'm like, well, that's a shit deal. Please, God. Please, precious stones.
But
help me win the lotto.
I will
please,
say.
Please, I deserve it, right? I worked real hard.
The one thing that is kind of the nice thing about being an adult is, in theory, if you're up to it, you have the opportunity to change certain things that you see in the world that you think are bad.
Oh, yeah.
And that's kind of the job of the adult.
Yeah. Like
the kid kind of lives through whatever their environment is. Mm-hmm. They don't have much of a choice. But an adult, that is kind of like, that's essentially what like adults are supposed to do. You know?
Someone tell all the adults that.
Yes.
But I agree. I just feel like too with all the MAGA, the type of MAGA person that wears a bandage on their ear and attends a rally with a sign. That kind of person, I'm like,
yeah.
Come on, can you just go to another planet? Please. You would love it. We would love it. It would be great, you know? I mean people and people that are so gung-ho on these beliefs that they don't actually believe, they drive me up a fucking wall. Baby boomers, man. I think the government should provide complimentary... the government should provide complimentary hostage negotiation teams to all baby boomers with millennial children because it's bleak. We're not getting along and the divide's only getting bigger, okay? For the ones that don't get along, I don't see a pathway to getting along because then you say stuff like, hey... This upset me. And they're like, I didn't do that. And you're like, well, now what do I do? Now you're just living in your own world? Cool. I mean, I am too a lot of times, but my world contains fairies and ponies and fucking ghosts and aliens. Your world contains everyone trying to get you and attack you for everything. Two different worlds. Two different fucking worlds. And you can't talk to each other. God, I hope I'm not. I hope I'm okay to be around when I'm 50. We'll see. We'll see.
Time will tell.
Yeah. But I just, you know, with this boomer millennial thing, we need we both need a parent. The boomers need a parent and the millennial kids need a parent. So give us a hostage negotiator. Have them be daddy for a second. Not like daddy, but like daddy, you know, because none of us had a daddy. Maybe we had a daddy, but we didn't have a daddy. Okay. Well, boomers didn't have a daddy. They deserve one, but they didn't know how to get it. But they can implement punishments for when we cross the line, you know, someone to keep us in line. If the dad acts up, you don't get to go to Outback Steakhouse for 3 months. You're grounded.
I have a question for you. Can I ask?
Yes.
All right. So we were talking before the mics went on about your choice this week and whether or not you want children.
It's a daily struggle.
A daily struggle. But you're feeling right now that is something that you want.
Well, here's the thing. Great question, Michael.
Yeah.
I have.
Well, that's not the question, but that's the first question.
Well, so, I will say this. Something I've noticed is I look back at my life, current life, past life, and there's never been a moment in my life where I was experiencing something really lovely and I go, you know what would make this better? A kid.
Mm-hmm.
I've never thought that. Never thought that. I like kids. I love kids. They're so goddamn cute. And I know so much about parenthood because of all the research I've been doing. And this Mother Hunger book has a section about like how to raise a child. And very helpful information. And I will say, we get screwed. Parents get screwed because no one teaches you how to do it. No one teaches you the skin-on-skin, like you have to get these resources on your own. So, but I do want kids. I think my partner that I'm with would be such an incredible father. We'd be great parents together. But I need money and resources and I still want to be like a hoe for a little bit.
So my question is to you, based off everything you're saying about parenting, how do you see yourself parenting your kids? Do you think that some of this like generational issue has come from being sort of lax on parenting? Maybe not as, you know, like immigrants from my parents' generation, like we got hit as kids.
Oh, you know? I got hit as kids too,
right?
As a kid.
But yeah. I don't think that that's the way that they kind of teach you how to raise kids anymore.
No.
Like they don't want you doing that.
I agree with that.
And I do think it affects kind of what you get. It's different than how like people from our generation were raised. So how do you see yourself? Are you going to be a disciplinarian? Are you going to be like way like out there, like smoking weed with your, like one of those parents?
No, like, I wouldn't be doing that. The way I would interpret parenting or approach parenting, and I say this as not a pregnant person, not somebody with kids. So who knows if that would change. I think having a baby, you have a baby and then you teach them how to navigate life. you teach them how to get to know themselves, and you just teach them about the world, and you let them become whoever they are destined to become. And if you got a problem with who they're becoming, then you got to work on yourself. Okay. So I think having a kid is just like, hey, let me bring this new soul into the world. I'm going to teach you as much as I possibly can. I know I'm going to fuck up, because one thing I know is every parent fucks up in some ways, big and small, and it's okay. Like, every parent fucks up. It's almost the nature of being a parent. So I'm not worried about that. Like, if I fuck up my kid, I will in some ways, but I would hope I would be very open to the feedback. When I was in Europe, we stayed with my boyfriend's really good friend who has kids. Him and his wife have three children, and they are the loveliest children I have ever met. And when we were in Ireland for Christmas, I met a group of kids from ages like 5 to 11, the loveliest children. Oh my God. They were so much better than American kids. And I paid attention to how they spoke to their children, and they were disciplinarians, but the discipline doesn't have to be, let me have you live in fear of me so that you make the right choices. That's manipulative and controlling. But I get that that's an easy way. And if you don't know any other way, it's the way you're going to do it. So I think having a kid is just helping somebody become themselves, right? And so that's how I would approach parenting. But then it's like, God, who knows? I want a daughter. I want a daughter with glasses. I want a kid that needs like glasses when she's three. I can't tell you how much I want to squeeze your little face. Oh my God. I think it's so cute when kids wear glasses. I mean, not that I want them to have medical problems, but I would also adopt. I would adopt a kid. I would adopt a kid with Down syndrome. Oh my God. I would adopt a special needs child. Like, but I would want to make sure that my life is in a place where I have time, like most of my time to dedicate to that kid.
Right.
But I would fucking love that. What a privilege that would be to do that. But, and I'm all for adoption because my mom was adopted. So, and she was adopted by two lovely human beings. So I understand how adoption can completely change lives. I don't know. I also want to know what it's like to be pregnant. Oh, and give birth. That's crazy. I mean, it gets blown out, but like, okay, whatever. Like, yeah. You got to experience that. And also sew me back up, make it a little tighter, you know? Give me that. So yeah, I would want kids, but I want a house in the woods first because I don't want to raise kids in New York City. Hmm. It's too dirty. It's just so much shit. And also too, like I think about how I would be as a parent. There's still a lot that I got to work on. But look, nobody who has kids is perfectly self-actualized. So fuck it. That doesn't matter. But I do have a lot of, I'm very hypocritical in certain areas and it bothers me. Like I get so mad when people litter. I almost got myself killed because I flicked a guy off who just threw, he was parked and he threw a bag of trash out of his window onto the street. And I was like, the fuck? So as we drove by him, I flicked him off. Okay. Did one of these. That's all. That's all. And then he followed us and he tailgated us real closely, but kind of violently. Like, and I turned to my partner and I was like, should we call the cops? And he was like, yeah, I was thinking the same thing because he was tailgating us so hard. And then about 10 minutes into him tailgating us, like very scary, he turned on his sirens. It was an undercover cop. And I was like, oh, you fucking bitch. You littering bitch. I hate littering. Whenever I go to a park, like if there's a trash can and there's litter, I pick it up. Okay. You just pick it up. I hate litter. Meanwhile, if you knew how many paper towels I used in one day, I would be canceled. I wouldn't be allowed to do anything. I use so many paper towels. And it's like, pick one, Christina. I ran a 5K last month. I am also a cigarette smoker. What? Fucking pick one, Christina. I didn't smoke right after the 5K, but I smoked a little bit after it. That's what? Like, I still, there's still all these dualities, you know? It's mother hunger. It's mother hunger. There's a list on Instagram that I want to share before I get into my alien segment. And it's from the Stoic, which I love. Love some Stoic shit. Like, please raise me, you know? Saved post. It's a list of things. It's almost up. Okay. 30 short rules for a better life from the Stoics. 1, focus on what you can control. So somebody else littering, that's on them, Christina. Fucking get over it. You control how you respond to things. So I shouldn't have flicked them off. Ask yourself, is this essential? That would have saved me a lot of money. Meditate on your mortality every day. I love mortality. It's fucking fantastic because just makes you not care about stupid shit when you're alive. Value time more than money / possessions. You are the product of your habits. Ouch, that hurt. Remember, you have the power to have no opinion. Tell everyone else that. You have the power to have no opinion. What a thought. Could you imagine not having an opinion on something? Me?
N-O.
I couldn't. Own the morning. I love that one. Because when I have a good morning, the whole day, just come at me, bro. Put yourself up for review, meaning interrogate yourself, which I always, always encourage. And I always do. Don't do it too much, though, because then you're just going to have a mental breakdown. Don't suffer imagined troubles, mother. Try to see the good in people. Check, check, check. I'm going to go with that one. Never be overheard complaining, even to yourself. Ooh, that's going to take a couple years to fix. Two ears, one mouth for a reason. I don't know what that means.
It means it's for you listen more than you talk.
Oh. Okay, well, someone went to college.
You have two ears for listening, one mouth for speaking.
Right. That's cool. That's pretty sick. Yeah, listening more than you talk. I couldn't imagine that life, but sounds fun. I want to go to a silent retreat. There's always something you can do. I mean, yes, that keeps me up at night. I don't like that one. Don't compare yourself to others. Okay, well then get off Instagram. Live as if you've died and come back. Every minute is a bonus. I try that. I try to do that, but I forget most times to do that. The best revenge is not to be like that. That's great. I like that one. I like that one a lot. Be strict with yourself and tolerant with others. Okay, tolerant with others, I got. Strict with myself? That's going to be a journey. Put every impression, emotion to test before acting on it. Ooh, could you imagine? That'd be crazy. Learn something from everyone. Check on that. I mean, everybody's a walking library. Everybody. Focus on process, not outcomes. That's a great one. Define what success means to you. And success means to me, I'm the white Oprah. And I do international theater tours. Find a way to love everything that happens. I like that one. Even the bad stuff. When the bad stuff happens, I will say I'm pretty good at that. I'm like, there's a gift in here somewhere. Seek out challenges. Checkity check. Don't follow the mob because they're going to off you. Grab the smooth handle. I don't know what that means. Like, don't make life harder for yourself. What does that mean, Michael?
That one, I don't know. I haven't heard that. That seems like some nonsense.
I guess instead of like the prickly handle, I don't know. Like if you, I interpret that as like, if you can make life easier for yourself, do it. Because some people love making life a lot harder for themselves. And I accidentally fall into that category. Every person is an opportunity for kindness. Say no a lot. Don't be afraid to ask for help. Find one thing that makes you wiser every day. Oh my God, that's beautiful. But you know what's not beautiful? This next segment. Guys, it's time for some fuckboy theater. Today's a special fuckboy edition. I'm from Kansas. All these fuckboys live in Kansas. And it's not great. If you thought it was, you'd be wrong. Because, poor women in Kansas who are straight, I feel for you. Seriously. Okay, so today's fuckboy theater, we are going to take a look at what it's like to be a single straight woman in Kansas. Okay? I'm going to read you three bios. Dating app bios, okay? That means it's the first thing that they want you, little lady in Kansas, to know about them, okay? First up is a piece of trash named Tim. No offense. I'm vanilla, baby. I'll choke you, but I'm no killer, baby. Let me put some hickeys on your titties, baby.
Oh boy.
Is that a rap song?
That's what he wants you to know about him in his bio. Ugh. Before you match, before you message, he gonna put hickeys on your titties. That's his bio.
I can't even imagine saying that to a person.
Well, you're one of the few.
It's a repetition of baby for me.
Say it a third time and I'll marry you. All right. This next bio is from a living Petri dish named Eric. Okay. Looking for a live-in maid that can also babysit. Payment equals get to stay rent-free. That's a that's what Eric wants you to know. That is the billboard of Eric's life. Please clean his home. You can live in it, you lucky bitch. You lucky bitch. He's 29. That's too old to be acting like that. And the last man from Kansas. And this is bio. This is what he's leading with, okay? And I will say all of the guys in their this is what I like. Cars and trucks. Cows and bulls. Too predictable. Okay, Andrew, what do you got for us? What's on your bio? What do you want us to see first about you? How can we take in your essence, Andrew? Here's how. This is what Andrew has to say. If I can't slap your ass in a sundress as I slam beer on my way to fuck some people up in cornhole, then you start texting me all the dirty things you want to do later, and I don't want it. And scene. Okay, ladies, don't go to Kansas. And if you live in Kansas, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
I got to tell you, it is a relief hearing these from week to week, because every time as a single guy, I feel like I say something dumb or something, you know, then I hear these and I'm like, all right.
You're fine. You're
I haven't
fine.
Done anything that bad yet.
It's why women watch reality television. Like, yeah. Well, I'm not that trash.
Right. Exactly. Right.
Yeah. This is reality TV for men. Yeah. Hey, get your self-esteem wherever you can. And now I'm going to do back-to-back segments. This next segment is aliens and afterlife and psychic powers. Oh, my. What? It's just stones. Please help me talk to ghosts, precious stones. I love you, precious stones. Please give me all the titties. Ow. Oops,
where'd those go?
Now they dropped. Shit, precious stones. Sorry, I betrayed you. All right, well, I'll get that later. I'm gonna get up and then it's just gonna go crashing down. Okay, so I am going to share a DM from a listener. I've gotten a bunch, but send them to me at Christina Hutch on Instagram, KRYSTYNA. If you're not following me, what the fuck? Okay. Follow me and send me a DM. I always check my other inbox at least a couple times a week. And so this is a great one. This is a really cool story. She says, hey, girl. So I was just listening to the podcast and I've been wanting to send you a psychic story for a while now. But last week, something even more powerful happened. Ooh, I love that for us. Let's hear it. I was listening to your podcast on Wednesday, which was also my dad's 12-year death anniversary. And I had just gotten a new iPhone on Tuesday. So my old iPhone and my new iPhone are still powered on Wednesday. So I'm listening to the podcast and I say pause and then resume a couple times because I keep getting interrupted. And every time it keeps going back to the beginning of the part where you're talking about the Laura Lynn Jackson event, where she was saying everyone has a sign. You need to write down what signs you're going to get from your loved ones. That part literally played 5 times. So I listened to the sign part a bunch. Then I go to acupuncture later that night and my provider puts in a bunch of grief needles and like 30 minutes into it, I just start channeling and talking to my dad through my mind and body. Like I'm pretty clairaudient, which means you hear, like it's a psychic ability where you hear stuff. So I hear things like words in my mind and then I'm also clairsentient. So I feel things in my body and I like to ask, and I started to ask, oh dad, do you like so-and-so? And he'll respond with the feeling that he gets from them. Cool. And so I just asked him all of these questions pertaining to my life now and asked if he likes a few different people and if he's proud of me. And I mean, honestly, kind of regular conversations with a ghost. It was really refreshing and it never happened so strongly like that until the day that I listened to your experience of Laura Lynn Jackson. Okay. Love that for all of us. And then after that, the next day, I did a tarot reading for my attorney because I'm in the settlement over a motor vehicle accident, but she's a spooky bitch. Dude, if I have an attorney, she has to be a spooky bitch. So I channeled her grandfather and her grandfather told her a bunch of advice. And then yesterday I channeled my girlfriend's best friend who passed away 5 years ago. And he gave her a bunch of really solid advice and reminders to take care of herself, which she really needed to hear. So if you want a psychic tarot reading, I could definitely do that. And I'm running them by donation right now. Don't you worry. I have one scheduled for Saturday. Okay. Already booked it over Zoom. Very excited. I don't really have people from the dead that I'm trying to contact, but I mean, I do have people in my life who passed away. And if any of of y'all can give me a message on how to just handle things. That's what I want to know. Because she asked me in the little form I filled out, like, is there anything specific you want to know? I'm like, how to be a person. Can you raise me? Someone raise me. Somebody raise me. I'm sick of doing it. Okay, now I'm going to read a little bit from Nathaniel Brandon's The Six Pillars of Self-Esteem. Okay, these rocks are falling onto my vagina. Six Pillars of Self-Esteem, the definitive work on self-esteem by the leading pioneer in the field. We're going to talk about the pillar, one of the first pillars of self-esteem. And this is one that we could all use more of. And might I remind you, a full reading of this chapter is available right now on my Patreon, patreon.com/Christina Hutchinson. For $5 a month, you can have the level of just here to listen, and you get all these bonus readings. And bitch, you know I'm better at reading out loud now. And when I read out loud for those, I'm alone in my closet, so it's less nerve-wracking. No offense, you guys are really great energy, but you know, sometimes it's scary to read out loud. Okay.
To us?
Just people, anybody.
Okay.
Reading out loud. I've had scarring memories in school from me trying to read out loud, and then the kids all laughing at me because I couldn't. Wouldn't okay. that be funny if I found out I was dyslexic? And I'm like, wow, could have known that earlier. I'm not. But, you know, something's up with my brain. And it's mother hunger. Okay. If we do not bring... Ugh, this is so needed, this piece, these pieces of advice. I hope there's Trump people listening to me. Please listen to me. If we do not bring an appropriate level of consciousness to our activities... If we do not live mindfully, the inevitable penalty is a diminished sense of self-efficacy, which is your ability to function in the world. Do I have that?
No.
But I'm trying. Get off my dick. And self-respect. We cannot feel competent and worthy while conducting our lives in a mental fog. Boy, I've tried. Doesn't work. Our mind is our basic tool of survival. Betray it and self-esteem suffers. The simplest form of this betrayal is the evasion of discomfiting facts. For example, I know I'm not giving my job my best, but I don't want to think about it. I feel so called out. Not now, but not that long ago. I know there are signs our business is falling into worse and worse trouble, but what we've done worked in the past, didn't it? Anyway, the whole subject is upsetting, and maybe if I sit tight, the situation will remove itself somehow. Come on, precious stones, take my troubles away so I don't got to do nothing. Legitimate grievances? What legitimate grievances? My spouse has been influenced by those crazy women libbers. Libbers? Is that, this book was written in the 80s. That's why she's beating up on me. Okay, that one doesn't make sense. I know my children suffer from having so little of me. I know I am causing hurt and resentment, but one day, somehow, I'll change. No, you won't. No, you won't. If not now, when? Through the thousands of choices we make between thinking and non-thinking, being responsible towards reality or evading it, ooh, spooky, we establish a sense of the kind of person we are. Consciously, we rarely remember these choices, but deep in our psyche, they are added up, bitch. And the sum is that experience we call self-esteem. Self-esteem is the reputation we acquire with ourselves. I love that definition, because if you look at anybody with shit behavior, I don't know, yelling on the street, whatever it is, they don't have a good reputation with themselves. And I think they wouldn't argue that fact. Okay. We are not all equal in intelligence. Could have told you that, but intelligence is not the issue. Woo. Thank God. I majored in acting. The principle of living consciously is unaffected by degrees of intelligence. Guys, that's great news. That's great news for all of us. To live consciously means to seek to be aware of everything that bears on our actions, purposes, values, and goals to the best of our ability, whatever that ability may be, and to behave in accordance with that which we see and know. Cute. Being responsible towards reality. Living consciously implies respect for the facts of reality. Just gonna let that sit in. This means the facts of our inner world, needs, wants, and emotions, as well as that of our outer world. This contrasts with that disrespect for reality contained in an attitude that amounts to, if I don't choose to see it or acknowledge it, it doesn't exist. And let me tell you, boys and girls and theys and thems, that was my attitude until like last year. I'm like, I'm going to manifest it not being so. Shit doesn't work. As woo-woo as I am, that shit doesn't work. Because if it did work, I would have told you. It doesn't. Living consciously is living responsibly toward reality. We do not necessarily have to like what we see, but we recognize that which is, and that which is not. Wishes or fears or denials do not alter facts. Boy, I wish they did, though. Oh, man. Wouldn't that be sick? If I desire a new outfit but need the money for rent, my desire does not transform the reality and make the purchase rational. Are you sure? If I fear an operation my physician assures me is necessary to save my life, my fear does not mean I will live equally well without the operation. If a statement is true, my denying it will not make it false. I feel so called out. Oh, God, denial. It's such a cozy river. Thus, when we live consciously, we do not confuse the subjective with the objective. We do not imagine that our feelings are an infallible guide to truth. Ah, the shit I wish I knew 80,000 years ago. We can learn from our feelings to be sure, and they may even point us in the direction of important facts, but this will entail reflection and reality testing. And this entails the participation of reason. Ooh, spooky. Let's call everybody out. This understood, let us look more closely at what the practice of living consciously includes. Specifics of living consciously. Living consciously entails a mind that is active rather than passive, an intelligence that takes joy in its own function. Now that sounds fucking fun. I want to do that. Some days I am like that. Being in the moment without losing the wider context, reaching out towards relevant facts rather than withdrawing from them. Ouch, stop. Being concerned to distinguish among facts, interpretations, and emotions. Noticing and confronting my impulses to avoid or deny painful, threatening realities. Okay. An intelligence that takes joy in its own function. The natural inclination of a child is to take pleasure in the use of the mind no less than of the body. The child's primary business is learning. It is also the primary entertainment. To retain that orientation into adulthood so that consciousness is not a burden, but a joy. Could you imagine that? Is the mark of a successfully developed human being. That's how I want to raise my kids. Of course, as adults, we cannot choose to feel pleasure in the assertion of consciousness if for one reason or another we associate it with fear, pain, or exhausting effort. But anyone who has persevered, overcome such barriers, and learn to live more consciously will say that such learning becomes an increasingly greater source of satisfaction. And I will say, that's true. Because the more I learn, the more I realize I was a piece of shit. And then the less I act like a piece of shit. And then the more I can take joy in my piece of shitlessness. Seeking always to expand awareness, a commitment to learning, therefore a commitment to growth as a way of life. In the second half of the 19th century, the head of the U.S. Patent Office announced, "Everything of importance that can be invented has been invented." That's hilarious. He ain't know about the iPhone. Fuck you. This was a prevailing viewpoint throughout almost all human history until very recently, for the hundreds of thousands of years that Homo sapiens has existed on this planet. People saw existence as essentially unchanging. What? They believed they didn't have Instagram or Facebook. They believed that the knowledge possible to humans was already known. Ah, you dumb fucks. The idea of human life as a process of advancing from knowledge to new knowledge, from discovery to discovery, let alone of one scientific and technological breakthrough following another with exhilarating and disorienting speed, I will say that's where we're in, is only a couple of seconds old. So we are born at a pretty crazy time, measured in evolutionary time. In contrast to all the centuries behind us, we are living in an age when the total of human knowledge doubles about every 10 years. Now, I'm going to say that's even more because of the internet. Only a commitment to lifelong learning can allow us to remain adaptive to our world. Those who believe they have thought enough and learned enough are on a downward trajectory of increasing unconsciousness. Ha-ha. Suckers. The resistance of many people to becoming computer literate is a simple example. This is so 80s. I recall a vice president in a brokerage firm saying to me, having to struggle with learning a computer was devastating to my self-esteem. I didn't want to learn, yet I had no choice. It was necessary, but what a battle. And I'm going to be reading the rest of this on the chapter, but I want to go through a couple quotes of this chapter that I fucking love. To find it humiliating to admit an error is a certain sign of flawed self-esteem. And that, whew, boy, I used to, you know, sometimes I fuck up and I lean in and I'm like, dude, I fucked up. I'm so sorry. I fucked up. And then other times I fuck up and I go, I didn't fuck up. I gotta go. Do I know what I am doing when I particularly like myself and what I am doing when I don't? Ooh, think about that. Self-destruction is an act best performed in the dark. Or, if you're a comedian, in the spotlight. Okay. And then any other cute quotes I want to talk about? Any other cute quotes? We tend to be more conscious in some areas in our life than others. Doi. Okay. So I'm going to read the rest of the chapter on the Patreon. It's already up. And next week, we're going to talk about the next pillar of self-esteem, the practice of self-acceptance. Ooh, spooky. Guys, thanks for being here. Thanks for not killing yourselves. I'm proud of you. I think you're doing great. And I'll talk to you next week. Bye.